So I think there's a lot of good resources out there now, and we do also. I don't mind it being called Dutch theology or neo-Calvinism. My only hesitation on that is that we must never lose the primacy of Christ and the primacy of Scripture. So, insofar, I think neo-Calvinism is very good because I think it's the most biblical tradition that I know. Okay, but it must always be subject to semper reformanda by Scripture and under the authority of Christ. So those are absolutely fundamental. So, and I think, you want to know what sources I would recommend. Okay, I love your questions, Nathan. So my first one is the Bible. which I think Southern Baptists will quite like that as a source to start with. But let me tell you what this alerts you to is that I wear glasses, okay? And it's really a frustrating thing wearing glasses because you lose them. And the reason you lose them is you don't look at glasses, you look through glasses. Now, one of the things we have to discover is that we never read the Bible without some kind of glasses. And that's formed by culture, background, church, religious orientation, denomination. We bring that to our reading of Scripture. Okay? Now, the dynamic that has to happen is that we have to, or the Spirit has to do the work so that the glasses are reshaped. So that Scripture comes more and more clearly into correct focus. But with all of us, there's a danger of distortion. So in South Africa, just to hark back to it, we would, I wouldn't, I didn't do this in an overt way, but in the Dutch tradition, they would read Scripture and find in it the support for apartheid. Now, for you guys, this is, you think, well, how the heck did we do it? Except, of course, we're in the South, and it was done here too, and probably still is. In certain circles. So a pastor, I used to teach all about worldview and all that, and people would say to me, Craig, logically this is very convincing, but for the life of me, I can't see it in the Bible anywhere. So this is like a killer argument. So then what you have to do is you have to defamiliarize people with the Bible so they can hear it again. So I said to this friend of mine, what are you preaching on Sunday? So he said to me, I'm preaching on this great text. It's a true saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners. So I said to him, okay, tell me what a sinner looks like. Because that question enables me to get at his view of the human person, or what in philosophy we call his anthropology. And you see, everyone working on that text and preaching it, built into their sermon is a certain view of what it means to be human. Okay? And sadly, what a lot of us have a view of being human is that we're primarily a soul, which we don't know what that is. It's somewhere. Descartes thought it was in the pineal gland at the back of the head. Somehow we've got this Platonistic anthropology that we're fundamentally a soul that needs to be saved and go to heaven. Well, if that's your view of what it means to be human, you read Scripture and you hear it in a certain way. So I said to him, let me just tell you very briefly my anthropology. I use this as a working anthropology. We are made for relationship. You love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. It's very biblical. That to be human is to be relational. And I say we're in four fundamental relationships. That first of all, we are made for God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. Secondly, we are made for one another. We are made for deep community to give ourselves to each other and to receive the gift of each other. Thirdly, I think we are unique as creatures in that we have a relationship with ourselves. So, before we came for this interview, Mike spent half an hour in front of the mirror saying, Marnie, am I the most handsome? No. So, but one's conscious of oneself. So we have a relationship with ourselves, and then we have a relationship with the world, because we don't levitate. You know, we occupy ground and we live and so on. Now, I said to him, what is the effect of sin on those relationships? Well, it severs the relationship with God, but it profoundly fractures all the other relationships. Now, what happens when you get saved? The relationship with God is renewed, and? Well, it's what traditionally we call sanctification. The Spirit delights to get at work, restoring our full humanity. So that Hans Ruckmacher, I always ask my students this question, why does Christ save us? And sadly, they're evangelicals, no, wonderfully they're evangelicals, so they always answer to go to heaven, you know, all sorts of weird answers. Do you know what Ruckmacher says? God saves us to make us fully human. Now, do you see what's happened is suddenly, now I think, if that's evangelism, I'm all for it. I mean, I think, good grief, that is a gospel that you can preach up and down the highways and the byways. You know? So I think, you know, the major source is Scripture. And I think if it's not the major source, we will never convince your listeners, because the great thing about Southern Baptists is that most of them are converted, and the Spirit has convinced them that Scripture is God's Word. And that's why we wrote Drama of Scripture. Because if a worldview is not authorized by Scripture, then as Christians we maybe shouldn't worry about it too much. But if this orientation towards the world is biblical, and naming it worldview helps us to get more deeply into Scripture, and incidentally that's why Calvin wrote his Institutes, not so that we could do systematic theology. He wrote them so we could read the Bible better. And a healthy worldview will lead you more deeply into Scripture and find yourself coming up again and again in the presence of Christ and realizing what an enormous thing this is. So that's a long answer. The primary source is Scripture. We've got to recover it. And, you know, and I'm tired of the evangelical tradition which thinks it has a monopoly on the Bible and doesn't know the Bible. And I'm an Old Testament scholar. And 3/4 of the Bible is the Old Testament. And yet a lot of evangelicals live in the New Testament and they fail to read it against the development of the Old Testament. And then you end up with this narrow American Jesus who saves my soul but has got nothing whatsoever to do with the grand sweep of American and Western culture, let alone global culture. So we recover Scripture, and then, you know, on top of that, there's wonderful books, so very introductory books. I would recommend James Sire, The Universe Next Door. I mean, I think that's just a beautiful, beautiful book. It's more systematic in its categories, but it's wonderful, wonderful stuff. And then, of course, our colleague and friend Al Walter's book, Creation Regained. That's a much harder book. Then there's stuff that we have written. And there's Nancy Piercy's work, there's Chuck Colson's work. So, you know, there has been this renaissance, this recovery of worldview.